In the name of Jesus, amen. It seems that wherever Jesus may go, he always finds himself among the sick and the needy, those who are in need of help, who cannot help themselves. And if you hang out with Jesus just long enough, it not only becomes apparent that you'll find him in the midst of desperately ill people, but he also gathers around him real lowlifes, real sinners who incurable disease stems from their very soul. Jesus will even go into their homes, and he will share a meal with them around a table. And for that, he caught a lot of flack from those who were blind of their own need of healing. Hang out with Jesus long enough, and you'll come to realize that everyone around, all appearances aside, are broken and in desperate need of a healing that only God can give. In this morning's gospel, we find Jesus in the company of a woman and a Pharisee. Two desperately broken people, but only one of them acknowledges their condition. There are two kinds of sinners in this world: those who recognize their sin, and those who don't. Those who recognize their sin are broken and contrite, and they confess it. Those who don't recognize their sin are smug, self-righteous, and judgmental of others. Those who recognize their sin recognize Jesus as the Savior of sinners. And those who don't recognize their sin do not recognize Jesus and wonder, who is this that even forgives sins? By all rights, the woman in our gospel text this morning didn't belong in that house or at that table, for she was a sinner. Now, we don't know exactly what her sin was, this woman of the city, but it really doesn't matter. But we do know that she did not belong in a Pharisee's home, surrounded by all these righteous people. And while it's true that this Pharisee named Simon was having an open party, both to honor his guest and to honor himself, the only people who would be worthy to be at this party were those who were of the religiously righteous sort, who kept the law according to the Pharisees' way of understanding it. So this woman certainly doesn't belong there. Yet she comes anyways, uninvited, without regard for the righteousness of others. She comes to see the righteous one, who alone can give her what she most desperately needs. The religious Pharisees charged that Jesus ate with sinners, and they despised him for it. And ironically, Simon, one of the Pharisees, invites Jesus to a dinner at his house. So the one who eats with sinners also eats with religious sinners as well. And with them is a woman from the city, whom everyone knew to be a sinner. She sneaks right into the house and ducks behind the feet of Jesus. And she's weeping. She bends down to Jesus' feet, wetting them with her tears. She opens an expensive vial of scented oil and rubs the oil into Jesus' feet, and she dries Jesus' feet with her hair. This woman's behavior is a party stopper, to say the least, as a table full of judgmental religious men looks down upon her with disgust. And probably if they could have picked up stones right then and there, they would have. How dare she be in this house? How dare she behave this way in front of everyone? And Simon is thinking to himself, if this guy was truly a prophet, he would know what sort of woman is down on the ground touching him. And he would put a stop to this immediately. If you hang out with Jesus, it doesn't take long to realize that he gathers sinners around him. So Jesus turns to Simon and says, "Simon, I have something to tell you." And he says, "Say it, teacher." Now, the parable that Jesus tells Simon might sound a lot like this morning's Old Testament reading. King David thought he'd gotten away with adultery and murder. He had an affair with the wife of one of his soldiers who was in the field doing battle where David should have been too. And she got pregnant. David tried to cover it up by calling her husband Uriah home on furlough, hoping that he would sleep with his wife. But Uriah was much more loyal to the king than the king himself, and he refused to go home to his wife. So David killed him, put him in the front lines of the battles so he would die and he could marry his pregnant widow. And the whole nation would think David of a hero. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. So the Lord sends Nathan, the prophet, to David to tell David that the thing he had done, this adultery and murder, had displeased God, which is never, by the way, a good thing. And so Nathan tells David a little story. A poor man had a little lamb as a pet he loved. And a rich man took away that little lamb and killed it and cooked it for his friends. Nathan had set a trap, and David walks right into it. He's outraged. This man deserves to die. Yes, he does. And the trap is sprung. And Nathan tells the king to his face, "You are the man." The sinner is nailed to the wall. His sin is exposed. And how does David respond? He repents and confesses, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan responds with forgiveness. "The Lord has put away your sin, and you shall not die." However, David's sin is laid on another, his child, David's son. "The child who is born to you shall die, bearing the sin of his father. He will die on the seventh day without even a name. The son of David dies for the sin of David." Our Lord Jesus, the Son of David, came to seek and to save sinners. Every one of them without exception. The sinful woman of the street and Simon the Pharisee and you and me. The unreligious and the religious. Jesus came to save them all by dying for their sin. So our Lord Jesus, like Nathan, tells Simon a parable. A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed him 500 denarii, a year and a half's wages, and the other owed 50. And he forgives them both. So which one loved him more? The trap is set, and Simon walks right into it. "I suppose the one for whom the larger debt was canceled." "That's it, Simon. Now do you see this woman? Do you see her tears, her hair? Do you smell her perfume? She loves much because she has been forgiven much. And what about you, Simon? No kiss of friendship, no oil, no water to wash my feet. You couldn't care less about me, could you, Simon? He who is forgiven little loves little." The woman is forgiven, and Jesus tells her so. Your sins are forgiven, he says. And he commends her faith that brought tears and devotion to his feet. Your faith has saved you. Now go in peace. And what about Simon and those around the table? They are forgiven too. And they are forgiven much. For every adulterous act this woman did in her life, each of those men at the table had done the same with her or with another in their hearts. So who's the 500 denarii sinner? And who's the 50? We all assume it's the woman who's the big-time sinner, right? While the religious guy is the lesser one. Yet the Pharisee, Simon, loves little. Not because God has forgiven him any less than the woman of the streets, but because he received little forgiveness. For what does he need forgiveness for? He tithes, he fasts, he worships, he keeps the law. Forgiveness is for sinners like that woman at Jesus' feet. One who doesn't recognize his sin does not recognize the forgiveness that is his in Jesus. And he doesn't recognize Jesus as the friend and the Savior of sinners. So which one do you identify with? The religious Pharisee or the weeping woman of the street? Both are guilty under the law. Both are sinners in need of forgiveness. Both are included in the death of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. One recognizes her sin and falls weeping at Jesus' feet. And the other sits in judgment of his fellow sinners and of Jesus who came to save him. God's desire is that you recognize your sin and so recognize your Savior and trust Him with your forgiveness. Those who recognize their sin are eager to hear forgiveness, and those who don't, they have no use for forgiveness. A broken and contrite heart, O Lord, you will never despise. My friends, we must all be broken. Our pride, our religious egos, our judgments of others must all be broken. For you are the man, and you are the woman. Never mind the sinners around you. You are the one. I am the one. We are the thieves, the liars, the adulterers, the murderers, the faithless ones, the doubters. And what you abhor in others is at work in you too. What you judge in others, you also do, and so do I. Maybe you're more polite about it, more religiously respectable, but to God, who looks into the depths of the sinful heart, there is no difference between the woman of the city and that Pharisee, and you and me. What distinguishes the woman weeping at Jesus' feet from the Pharisee sitting at the table is faith. Faith that brings repentance. She believes the word about herself, that she is sinful. She hears her conscience accuse her in the quiet hours of the night, giving her no rest. She sees it in the hard stares of these religious men who judge her. She hears it in the law and in the commandments. She knows what she is, but she trusts Jesus with her broken, miserable, sinful life. She trusts Jesus with her tears. She trusts Jesus with her whole life. She trusts that those feet that she's drying with her hair in front of all those men will not kick her aside. And in that trust, she hears the words she knows are true and that she longs to hear over and over again. your sins, though they be many, are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." She loved Jesus much because she believed that she was forgiven much. How often you and I have played the part of the Pharisee, not seeing ourselves as the desperate one who seeks out Jesus as the only one who can deliver us from our sick and sinful selves. How often do we come to the presence of Jesus so that we are the ones to be honored, patted on the back for being in church or for all the good that we're doing, and to be validated for our religious sincerity? My friends, if you and I do not see ourselves as sinners, we will have no use for the friend of sinners. If you do not see yourself as a sinner, you will not seek His forgiveness, nor will you humble yourself at Jesus' feet. Arrogant King David must be humbled. The proud Pharisee must be brought to his knees. The eyes that look down in judgment upon another must be filled with tears. The hardened heart must be broken. The good news is that Jesus is a friend of sinners. Jesus washes the unclean, just as He washed little Gregory Fritz this morning in the waters of baptism. Jesus welcomes sinners to His table, and He gathers sinners around Him. And Jesus forgives sinners because He died for sinners. The debt that we cannot pay, He paid. The sin of David has been answered by the death of David's son on the cross. For God so loved the world, He so loved you that He sent His only Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus came not to condemn sinners, but to save them. And so He gathers you here this morning in this place around Himself, and He leaves you with these words: "You are forgiven. Your Jesus has saved you. Go in peace." In the name of Jesus, amen.